Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Nut Out continues now. This is the broadcast for December the 13th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is Hour 2 at 2. And the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Wow. There's all kinds of stuff going on in the news. Let's start with the gun control issues. Kurt wants to talk about gun control. Kurt?
There you go, Sam. Yeah, the Dick's Sporting Goods guys, you remember a story about them a little while back?
Oh, yeah, there's tons of stories about those guys. But the latest one had to do with the fact that after the, shooting in Florida or whatever, they kind of went ballistic and said, we're going to get rid of guns and ammunition in our stores and all this other goofball stuff, right?
Right. And so now the headline says, corporate gun control fail, : Dick's may have to close 35 stores across 18 states.
Good. Couldn't happen to a nicer bunch. And I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying, you know what? I mean, they have every right to do what they want to as a private company.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
a company can sell alcohol or not, or sell guns or not, or whatever. They can choose what they want to. But when they choose against, in my opinion, freedom and transparency, they're going to reap the whirlwind, Kurt. And I'm glad this is happening, yeah, to be honest with you.
Well, that's right. And, they say they're... sales have been falling. This is after the implementation of corporate gun control. This is according to Breitbart piece, by the way. Dick's chief financial officer, Lee Belitsky, made clear no more of the company's Field and Stream stores would be built. And CEO Edward Stack went even further, floating the option of the closing the Field and Stream stores that exist already.
Well, Kurt, how do you have Field and Stream and no guns? I mean, pretty soon you'll be like, I don't want to have fishing gear because you know what? That's killing the fish. And the PETA people busted out and said, we can't kill the fish. And pretty soon you can't hunt and you can't fish and you can't, hey, that's their core, buddy. And if you're going to turn your back on your core, good luck with that, Kurt.
Yeah, they said the guy named Stack, let's see, who was that again? That's the CEO. He says, my sense is that we can either take a look at closing that store, that concept, or reconceptualizing it into a more of an outdoor-type concept. We're taking a look at all these things by the end of the peak of the hunting season.
Hey,
coming Dicks, up.
And, let me help you out a little bit, says, buddy. The thugs don't even want you going outdoors. They want you in an air-conditioned, well, no, you can't have air conditioning. They want you in a small, tiny building where you ride your bike to work, buddy, and you don't have any air conditioning or heating and you can't go outdoors because you ruin the environment. They actually want you dead, buddy. Okay?
Yeah,
so understand who we're really dealing with.
Temperature. Yeah. It says Stack explained the corporate gun control Dick's adopted in February, which precipitated the slumping sales. What we said is we would not sell any of the assault-style rifles. We wouldn't sell high-capacity magazines. We'd never sold bump stocks, which turn a semi-automatic weapon into basically an automatic weapon.
I got to just flat-out sell automatic weapons, buddy. We ought to get that law overturned and let people constitutional carry and stand for God, family, and country, buddy.
Yeah, they say Dick's followed its decision to quit selling commonly owned semi-automatic rifles by destroying the unsold rifles in stock rather than sending them back to the manufacturer. They did the same thing with high-capacity magazines in their inventory. Breitbart reported back in August, reported that Dick's would begin removing hunt products from certain stores. Says, with sales falling, the Washington Free Beacon reports...
Yeah, they need to quit selling beef jerky over there at the Dick's Sporting Goods, too, and stuff, Kurt.
Well, yeah, that hurts.
Got to quit selling fishing equipment, because, buddy, they're on a collision course with reality, Kurt, is the problem. And it's just mutual self-destruction. It's divide and conquer and destroy everything. And I'm sad about it, but you know what? It is a corporate gun control fail of epic proportions, and I think we ought to punish Target for their promotion of perversion. I think we ought to punish Dick's Sporting Goods for their violation of our Second Amendment rights, and we just go right on down the line. Well, New Jersey's in the news, and they're doing, well, a little better, but not much, huh, Kurt?
Let's see, New Jersey. Remind me what that one is about.
Kurt sent me a headline that said New Jersey state police refuse to roll out house-to-house enforcement of high-capacity magazine ban.
Oh, yeah. So, do you know about this one, Kurt? This is a good reason. I remember it. This is a good reason to move from New Jersey.
Well, they're refusing to do it. You got to say good on the cops, don't you?
Yeah, good point.
Let me stop you, though, and say it's good on the cops for refusing to do it. Why on earth would they be even asked to do such a thing is the core question, right?
Good point. Good point. Yeah, yeah. You know, and it's sad to see, but it's so many times this happens in these big, northeastern states, they started out pretty free and open when the country started, but boy, they've gone way against it.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to say they've gone south, because that's kind of a slight to our southern brothers and sisters. But hey, California is just as guilty, Kurt, if not worse, than New Jersey and some of these other states.
And that's way out west, Good point. Yeah.
Well, surprise, ladies and gentlemen. Toy store pushes birth of Jesus for Christmas, Kurt. What's up with that?
I mean,
are they allowed
shocking,
to do that?
It?
Somebody's going to get arrested.
It's a WorldNet Daily piece, but it says, put Christmas and toys in a search engine dialog box, and you're going to see many links to retailers. Lists of the hottest toys of 2018.
Now, I'm not super, all over Christ and toys necessarily, but I will say that I like the idea that the retailer understands this is Christmas, folks. And let's call it such. And let's, at least if we're going to have toys, let's have toys that, relate to good things, as opposed to perversion dolls or whatever else they can roll out, or witchcraft toys. At least it's a good start, right?
Yeah, one toy retailer with hundreds of shops is giving up his high-profile advertising spot. By the way, that's the front windows of his stores, to remind people about the real reason for the season, the birth of Jesus. A guy's name is Gary Grant, executive chairman of the Entertainer. It's a chain of nearly 200 toy shops in the United Kingdom. He was interviewed recently by the Christian Institute. He explained that while he's immersed in the secular part of Christmas with his sales, he wants to make sure the significance of the date is not overlooked. So he puts a nativity scene in all of his shop windows. A sign wishes passers-by a happy Christmas with a reminder, the reason for the season, the birth of Jesus. This is the true meaning of Christmas, he told the Institute. In amongst the giving of presents and the coming together as families, the essence of Christmas is obviously the birth of Jesus. He said the scenes are placed because of the biblical instruction and promise from 1 Samuel 2:30, those who honor me, I will honor. He said, I would hate that the reason for the season got completely overlooked and it was all about the Christmas tree and Father Christmas. He said he's concerned that an entire generation has missed the point of the holiday. He sees grandparents explaining the nativity to their grandchildren, but that doesn't happen as often when it's the parents and their children. He said, I'm passionate about making sure the next generation, the younger generation, have the Christmas story told to them. By the way, his company started with a single shop back in the 1980s, and now they have about 200. He says, I don't think it's just a coincidence that our business has grown exponentially when we're doing things that commercially don't make sense. But it makes sense to God, and it's making sense to me, he said. He said, it's our responsibility to live our faith out in the way in which we operate. The Institute reported Grant also uses his income for charitable works. The company tithes 10% of its profits to children's charities. This year, it's working alongside the Salvation Army with the Big Toy Appeal.
Well, and it's good that it's happening, but I wish it was happening in America, too.
Yeah, amen.
You got to go to the UK for that, you know what I mean? But it's good news, and we wanted to tell you about it, and we need more of it is the point. And we, what's this CEO of this toy chain's name?
Mr. Grant, I think.
Anyway, I just want to thank guys like that, you know, the CEO of Chick-fil-A. And
Gary Grant.
Gary Grant. All right, I want to thank guys like that for standing up for the sacred cause for which we all fight. Speaking of standing up for the sacred cause, I don't know if you know this, Kurt, but there's this male teacher. He's like a... teaching in the government schools, that's his first mistake. But nevertheless, he's doing it. He's doing it to the best of his ability morally. And what happened is there's this biological female. And she thinks she's a dude, okay? So she thinks she's a male, but she's biologically a female and everything. And
she so, identifies as a boy.
That's correct. And so she
that's
rolls.
That's the new phrase.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I know, but I'm avoiding all that. But I concur. You're spot on. You're exactly right. And the problem is when they say that a transgender somebody, I don't know when they call it a boy or a girl what it really is. And so I go back to this biological thing. I'm just one of those science nerds. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Anyway, so what happened is this chick thinks she's a dude, even though she's biologically female. And so she gets permission from this government, you know, education indoctrination camp to roll into the boys' showers. And the boys are all freaking out. I mean, they don't know how to handle it. On one hand, they're like, hey, I've never seen a naked girl before. And so this is kind of fascinating and stuff. On the other hand, they're kind of freaking and they're not comfortable with it because they got to get naked too. And they're going, what? It's all weird and crazy as our modern society, you know, promotes in the government schools. Well, anyway, this teacher, this good dude just couldn't take it. I'll tell you what happens in seconds.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
We're grateful for the good people everywhere that make a valiant stand. We're talking about a teacher in the government school that did just that. Anyway, so bottom line, Liberty Counsel has most of the details on this because our buddy Matt Staver over at LC.org is handling this case. Anyway, so what happens is this chick thinks she's a dude. So she just takes it all off, gets in her birthday suit, and rolls into the boys' showers. And all the boys are freaking out. They don't know what to do. They're kind of in turmoil. On one hand, they think it's super fascinating to see a girl in the nude in their showers. On the other hand, they don't want to really be there naked with her because they're embarrassed and they don't know what to do. On one hand, it's like horror. On the other side, it's fascination a little bit. You can't blame the poor boys, and it just ought to not be, but nevertheless, it is. And so the teacher went to the school and said, hey, man, I got a crisis going on here. I'm supposed to monitor the showers and make sure there's no bullying, that everybody's behaving properly and stuff like that. And I've monitored the boys' shower rooms as a male for years. But now there's a naked female in my showers. And they said, it's a boy, sir. And he said, it's not a boy. It's biologically a girl. And my Christian values require that I call a biological girl a girl and a biological boy a boy, and I just can't, one, have this girl in my locker room naked with all these boys that are naked also, and I got a problem. It violates my conscience and my Christian views, and furthermore, I, as a male, I mean, I shouldn't be watching a naked female either. And anyway, he stood up and they fired him, Kurt. And now the battle's on and Liberty Council's at the center of it. And I don't even know how to respond to this story, except for this is what we're getting in America, Kurt. You stand up and call a boy and a girl, or you say as a man, I won't watch this naked female. And you're not allowed to do that. On the other hand, you know, then if you're predatory, then it's a problem. And what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to, I don't know what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to call girls girls and boys boys, unless they're boys or girls and decided differently, and forget about biological and stick with what they identify as. And you're not allowed to take on this battle. But at the same time, you would think the Me Too movement would be applauding this guy to say, look, I'm not going to watch this young girl in the shower. I won't do it. And furthermore, I won't let her be in there with the boys naked together. I won't do it. But yet he's the one fired. And well, the nation's saying what a bigot and a racist and a hater. And I mean, it's, after all, he's like a Christian hater, Kurt, that's causing all this. What do you say to all that whole story? The battle rages on.
Well, yeah, the old good is called evil and evil is called good.
Now, the biological female that runs around in the showers naked with the males and stuff will probably start a GoFundMe and raise millions of dollars. And the guy that's on the ropes will probably wonder if he can even be at the soup kitchen, Kurt. Because he'll probably go to the soup kitchen because he's too broke, and then they'll shut down the soup kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? That's the way it kind of works when only very few people stand up. Tragic, but true. Anyway, I commend this male teacher. I think he's absolutely right, and we've got to make a stand somewhere. I'm calling it a valiant stand, Kurt. All right, grossly predatory. And this is the weirdest story I've ever seen in my life, Kurt. Of all the stories I've seen in my 25-plus years of covering the news as a commentator, whatever you want to call me, a talk show host, whatever, this is the weirdest story I have ever seen. They say grossly predatory is the headline. Sex professor points Me Too finger at God relating to the Virgin Mary. Now, do you understand this whole story, Kurt?
No.
All right. It is the weirdest story you've ever heard in your life. Here's the idea. The Me Too movement has gone on psychosis. So, as you understand the biblical account, God sent an angel to talk to Mary and say, you know what? You are the righteous woman that, if you are willing, would be the mother of the Christ child. And Mary willingly says, you know what, let it be unto me as God desires, or whatever. Okay. I'm summarizing the biblical account because there's several different, you know, biblical accounts, and because I'm, you know, but the Me Too movement is now saying that God is the greatest sexual predator of them all. And Mary is the now leader of the Me Too movement, Kurt. Because understand that God is in a position over Mary. I mean, he's her father, right, Kurt? And therefore, well, I mean, he might have asked if she was willing, but his position. And so now they're treating it like any other position of authority over someone, to where she didn't really have a choice and he forced her to have his baby. And so it's the ultimate Me Too. So the headline says that God is grossly predatory, and this, quote, sex professor points Me Too movement finger directly at Virgin Mary as the poster child for the abuse that Mary took, and how the Christians, remember I told you this was all about going after the Christians, right? Okay, and so God is the greatest predator, and poor Mary in the Me Too movement, she's now the poster child, Kurt. I don't even know how to respond to this stuff. It's so sick. I don't even know how to articulate this kind of stuff, Kurt. This is the weirdest story I've ever seen in my whole 25 plus years of news coverage. So she didn't have the opportunity to say no because it was a force figure from the word go, Kurt. The ultimate force is not Satan, it's God. According to this whacked out sex professor, the problem is if the sex professor was laughed off the stage as just ignorant and okay, it'd be one thing. But you know what? This viewpoint is gaining ground and Christians are being persecuted over these very issues. Mary is the Me Too movement leader, poster child. She was a child, a teenage girl, and God just forced his will on her. She might have said yes, but obviously under duress, Kurt, and there you go. And now it's being even compared to, you know how Bill Clinton sent the Secret Service to ask women to be involved? It's kind of being compared to that now, Kurt. Hey, God just sent one of the lower level angels down there to say Mary. So I don't even know how to, I don't want to border on disrespect or irreverence or blasphemy or anything like that with this story, but I can't believe this stuff is even being said, Kurt. Do you want to comment on this one?
Oh, I don't know what to say about this one, Sam, except you probably are right. It's the most...
I don't even know how to respond to it.
Unusual of them all.
And I'm never speechless, Kurt, but it is that I want to be delicate. It is that I want to be Christian. It is that I want to be reverent about it. I don't even know how to... I will say this, I guess, about it. You would no doubt know that the anti-Christians, in an effort to persecute Christians, would exploit the most sacred of events. That's the only way I know how to respond. And I would say that it's absolutely dishonest and immoral of an allegation. And I simply say this, I trust my God. I know he lives and he's real and he loves us. And I know he sent his son, Jesus Christ, down to earth to lead the way, to set an example, to sacrifice his life so that I can live with them as a family one day. And this strikes at the very heart of the God-ordained family. And violates, again, a woman's allowed to have a choice as long as she makes the pro-death or the whatever choice. If Mary chooses and says, hey, I would like to be the Christ child's mother, have it be unto me, then she can't choose that choice. Just like a woman can't choose today, the pro-choice folks will mock her and ridicule and down her if she decides to have a baby or to stay home and raise that baby. Any choice they don't like is off the table. And so I commend Mary for her choice. And I believe in the God-ordained family, and the more they double down in persecution of me for believing such, and the more they manipulate the truth in history, the more I will double down and defend my God. I don't know what else to say about it, Kurt. But I commend the male teacher that doesn't want to supervise the female. I commend Mary, and I'm grateful for God and for his sacrifice in his son, Jesus Christ. And I just, that's all I want to say about it, because I don't want to be irreverent. I don't want to go on the attack of everybody. I don't want to make matters worse and create a divide, but I do want to defend my God, and I do want to defend morality, and I do want to say the issue is agency versus tyranny, and I'm telling you right now, God's on the side of agency. And don't let anybody mix that up in your mind for you, ladies and gentlemen. Don't allow it to happen. So although I'm not on the attack, I want to be a stand-up guy, a valiant stand in the defense of all things good, honest, moral, and right. I want to call good good and evil evil. All right, there's a man in Vermont Kurt wants to tell you about.
Well, this guy's a little ticked off, Sam. He's been trying
to build
a garage.
you can't blame the poor guy. No, I don't know that I'd take the action he's taken, but I can't blame him.
Yeah, he's a little ticked off. He's 54 years old, Ted Pelkey. He's a business owner, and he... been trying to build a 8,000 square foot garage on his property for quite a few years.
Imagine him wanting to do something with his own property. Details in seconds. Yeah. Of course, they won't let that stand. You got to close the soup kitchen. You got to fire the guy trying to protect females. And now you got to, well, the battle's on. We'll tell you about it.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Dad, can you make him stop?
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know, I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
Man.
We can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say ice cream?
Family, isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where'd all these cats come from?
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, back with you live, Sam and Kurt, talking about the news. Salt Lake City Council votes to give themselves a $10,000 raise. Wow, Merry Christmas. Surprise, Toy Store promotes Jesus. Good for them. A male teacher refuses to supervise biological female in shower. Good for him, but he's getting the axe for it, folks. Grossly predatory sex professor points Me Too finger at Virgin Mary. God is a massive predator. Vermont man's in the news. Kurt's telling you about it. It's over property rights, huh, Kurt?
Yeah, and the guy, basically he's decided to protest, if you will. He says he's been trying to build this garage on his property for over a decade. That's 10 years, by the way. And what he wants to do is work there instead of driving 25 miles each way to the repair shop that he runs with his son. He says you can get out of bed in the morning, take your coffee, walk across the driveway, and go to work. What would you want to do? He says his most recent application was denied because it lacked information about building purpose and lighting. And he's appealing the decision, but he's also decided to show his feelings, if you will. He says, I've been put through the ringer by these people, and it's just not right. I'm not trying to cause hate and animosity to the people who live in that town, because there's very good people in that town. He says officials said the proposal doesn't meet the town standards, but Pelkey thinks they're biased against him. He said, I was sitting at a bar and said to my wife, hey, I want to get a statue made of a middle finger, and I'm going to put it up on the lawn. That's what he told Boston.com in an interview. And then the story says commissioning the structure, by the way, that means paying for it, which was completed November 30th and sits atop a 16-foot pole on his front lawn, cost $4,000. He said, he added he initially expected it to be forced to be taken down. But they say billboards are banned in Vermont. But because the giant middle finger sculpture isn't being used as an advertising tool, it can stay, according to the Vermont Agency of Transportation. And then the spokeswoman for the agency, which agency is that? Anyway, says, although the structure is visible from a state highway, it is outside of the state right-of-way and not within our jurisdiction. The structure, now, imagine if this guy put up a cross, Sam. I mean, a cross, now, that'd be taken down right off.
But darn right, you can put up your middle finger. No problem. Giant middle finger put up, and they say, hey, that's free speech. You can do that. Yeah. Now, if you put up the cross, or if you wanted to put up something like the Ten Commandments, they'd yank that sucker down yesterday.
They call this finger public art now.
Darn right.
So, anyway,
now, if you said Jesus saves, let's take that sucker down. You know, see, that's how that'd be. But there you go. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm disappointed in the Donald Kurt. Donald Trump unconstitutionally makes push to increase funding for what are called opportunity zones. I guess he signed an executive order directing money to, he wants to take the money from the tax break that we all got, and he wants to redirect it to some of these opportunity zones and such like that, Kurt. So he promised to get rid of the gun-free zones, didn't do it. Now he's pushing your tax dollars to opportunity zones via executive order, Kurt. You want to respond to that one?
It's just more of this whole, you know, it's like cities when they say, hey, man, we want that big company to come here. We'll give you some tax breaks to come here. I mean, the governments just, wouldn't it be nice if they just say, look, we're going to make it even for everybody. We're going to lower the taxes for everybody so that there's more hospitable business environment, more freedom.
It would be nice.
I mean, you know, but they always got to try to, you know, give somebody some special break.
Yeah, just so you know, the rich company of Amazon, Nate, you know, we're going to have an Operation B headquarters or whatever. They turned it into two different locations. And guess where they picked, Kurt?
One of them's in New York.
Donald Trump's opportunity zones, my friend.
Yeah, there you go.
Amen. That's how you bring down the cash. So I'm disappointed in the Donald on that regard. All right, electric grids in the news, Kurt.
Yeah, now there was a little grid story. I'm trying to remember. This was just recently. Where was it?
They say electric grid, prime target of terrorists, says the Department of Homeland Security, Kurt. Well, I think the Homeland Security are a bunch of terrorists over there, Kurt.
But, I mean, imagine, Sam, this is WorldNet Daily Peace, and they say that, hey, you know, some bad guys, like the guys that just walk across our southern borders, you know, could come across and, you know, take out our grid, which would kind of cause a problem. They say I guess they've got a report that was issued to President Trump by the president's National Infrastructure Advisory Council. I didn't know we had one of those, but I'm not surprised. This is according to the Washington Examiner, and the good buddies at WorldNet Daily picked it up. But they conclude that people, quote, no longer keep enough essentials within their homes, reducing their ability to sustain themselves during an extended, prolonged outage, end quote. Then they go on, they say, we need to improve individual preparedness, says the report titled Surviving a Catastrophic Power Outage, end quote. The Examiner notes it's the second report in a month to warn of a profound threat to the electric grid from terrorism and naturally occurring events such as a solar storm or flare. The prior report was issued by federal agencies and the military. But Sam, I don't know why these people are worried. You know, there's, you just turn the, you click on, you know, you flip your light switch up and it's always there. I mean.
Well, you know what they need to do? They just need to create the whole nation as an opportunity zone, Kurt. And then, you know, they go ahead and just take care of it all. I mean, they'd be redirecting money to it and everything else, right?
Yeah, they say 326 million Americans cannot long survive bereft by EMT of the electronic civilization that sustains their lives. A nationwide blackout lasting 1 year could kill millions, perhaps prove fatal to most Americans by starvation, disease, and societal collapse. You know, it's like guys like me, you know, I want to head out to the country and be in a pretty much a safer place, but folks call me crazy when I want to do stuff.
Well, you are
like
crazy.
That.
You're just a whacked out. I mean, you're a racist. You probably ought to be put in like a quarantine camp or something. But anyway, I agree with the DHS that, you know what, the grid is a prime target for terrorists, and the best way to solve it is to get rid of the grid. The problem is every technology that I know that's viable, Kurt, that could actually get us off the grid, they shut down, and, I mean, there's lawsuits against everybody, and you just can't get your technology to fruition unless the government backs it, subsidizes it, controls it, regulates it, manipulates it. It doesn't go anywhere. And so, you know, like I've mentioned to you, that these solar panels and some of these wind things and some of these, you know, incredible opportunities for... It's the government in the middle of them that's the problem with them. They could be viable, Kurt. Right?
Amen to that.
But not if you just have the government in the center of it. It's just like a non-starter. By the way, Dennis Prager emailed me and he said, Sam, don't let the left control the internet. You know what I responded back, Kurt?
What?
Too late.
Yeah, that's right.
You're a day late and a dollar short there, Dennis, buddy. I've been telling everybody about this for 25 years, that we better make the new media needs to take center stage, and we better get funding, and we better stand up. But the problem is we didn't fund our side, and they did fund their side, and now they control the internet, Kurt.
Yep.
You know, are we surprised? I told you that was going to happen. They'll control everything if you let dishonest money continue. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, I appreciate Dennis Prager telling me that and everything, and I commend him, and I'm grateful that he is trying to stand up and do what he can. But it's a little bit of kind of a day late and a dollar short discussion in my mind. By the way, Kurt, there's another headline that says they can see everything that you're doing on your cell phone, Kurt.
Imagine that, Sam. It's shocking.
Educate you on this a little bit?
Yeah, you might as well update us.
All right, so they go ahead and they say, listen, we can tell you how to opt out so they can't see everything you're doing on your cell phone. And so then they proceed to give me all these instructions to stop them.
Yeah, right.
Now, here's where I need to educate folks.
Mm-hmm.
Any of you people who believe that you can get them to not spy on you if you're using their devices,
mm-hmm.
You're being deceived. My fellow Americans, I'm telling you that right now. You will not stop them from spying on you, even if you turn off all the spy choices. Okay, you cannot opt out, folks. I'm telling you right now.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tified, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
All right, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to throw down on tech, folks. I want all you tech gurus out there to challenge me. Come on. I'll take every one of you on. The only way that you can not have those folks spy on you, Kurt, is to not use their devices. But understand that, you know what? You can't control if you're using their devices or not, because if you stand by somebody in line and they've got one of those devices, they're spying on you through your buddy in line's device, even though you may not even know them. Okay, and so all I'm telling you is it's impossible to have these people not spy on you. Impossible. And if you want to get rid of their devices, you can make a long headway towards that. But you can't literally completely opt out. I'm telling you right now. So when people say, and they give you the scare tactic and say they can see everything you're doing on your cell phone. Look, they can see everything you're doing on your cell phone, on your computer, on any of these devices. And they have been able to for a long time. Okay, so if you think this is new, you're wrong. And if you think that you can opt out, you're wrong. I'm just telling you right now. I challenge any tech guy to prove me wrong on that. Good luck. By the way, General Motors is fighting to retain what they call a valuable tax credit, Kurt, preserving the $7,500 incentive for buyers is crucial for GM as they try to pivot to build electric vehicles. This is what I'm talking about, Kurt. Now, do I think electric vehicles could be cool? Yeah, I do. But not when you have the Republicans and the Democrats doubling down together to subsidize them. And so there's people that are talking about, they're primarily talking about this issue that, hey, they want to build these electric vehicles. And the only way they're viable, Kurt, is if you get a $7,500 tax credit for every single vehicle. Do you want to respond to that, Kurt?
Well, I agree with you that it's one more thing that the government shouldn't be in. And in my opinion, if they can make it viable at that, they can make it viable, you know, without it. And, you know, you just need to let them do it and get the government out of the way, you know, get out of the regulating them and telling them what to do and let the market pick winners and losers, not the government.
Amen. I'm going to say something a little different. If they can make it viable without it, then it's viable. And if they can't make it viable without it, then it's not viable.
Well, yeah, you'll buy it if it's
viable.
Good. You won't buy it if it's not.
That's right. Now, I will also double down, though, and say this. I believe it could be viable because I believe that the amount that they're subsidizing oftentimes, Kurt, is more than the amount that the regulations, that their involvement causes. In other words, if they just get out of the way, I think the price would naturally drop the amount that they're subsidizing anyway, just by the less regulation and the less control that government exerts. And so do I believe that these vehicles could be valuable? Yes, I do. Do I believe we could have electric vehicles, electric-powered vehicles that could be incredible? Yes, I do. Do I believe the technology is out there for wind power and solar panel and a lot of these technologies? Absolutely, I do. But do I believe it'll ever be viable with government in the middle of it? No, I don't.
Nope.
Okay, that's the clarity that I want to double down on. All these solar panel companies are failing, Kurt, and it's primarily because of government involvement. The government doesn't need to fund them. The government doesn't need to subsidize them. What the government needs to do is honor contracts, create a level playing field, and get the heck out of the way. And if these things are viable, people will beat a path to their door. If they're not viable, then that's it, right?
Well, that's how the market works, Sam.
Well, that's how it's supposed to work. I don't know that that's how it works,
well,
but I agree with your point.
It works if it's left to do what it should do.
Amen. All right. Facebook is in the news, Kurt.
Really?
Inside the emails that Facebook thought you'd never read, buddy. Did you hear about this?
Maybe. What? Go ahead.
Well, bottom line is, they say a rare glimpse into how Facebook really works.
Mm-hmm.
A cache of emails, and you had to go to the UK folks to get the details on this, Kurt. But anyway, the bottom line is, the facts are clear. They say we've never sold people's data. Lies, Facebook. Now, you'd say, wait a minute, Sam, they didn't lie. Well, you're right and you're wrong. It all depends on how you define a lie, Kurt. So let me kind of explain the technical trail a little bit for you so that it's easy for people to understand, okay? So they didn't really sell your data, Kurt. But what they did was they opened up your data and shared it with third parties. And then what they did is they helped those third parties advertise. And so they made money on advertising, and the third party made money on advertising. And, well, they didn't really sell your data, though, Kurt. They gave your data away, and then they partnered in advertising. And so they didn't really sell your data. So let me give you an example. Let's say that I put in my phone number and my name, and another company wants that. Let's say I put in my email address, too. Another company wants to advertise and promote things to me and have my personal information. Then let's say you add to that details like what I like. Let's say that Sam likes hot sauce. So now they know Sam's name, his email address, his phone number, and that he loves hot sauce.
He likes Cholula.
That's one of them. I like a bunch of other ones. My favorite is this Palo Alto fire sauce that I bought. It's incredible
Palo Alto firefighters
put this sauce together. You'd dig it, Kurt. put that dude on your eggs. I'm telling you, it's phenomenal. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I digress. But what I'm telling you is, so you got that, and now what happens is the Facebook literally created winners and losers and literally shared that information with, say, a hot sauce company. Now, I know this is a crude example, but it makes the point. It's simple, right? The hot sauce company got the information for free, so Facebook can claim they didn't sell it, right? But, of course, when now this company wants to sell hot sauce, they pay Google for advertising, and then Google promotes hot sauce to me, or Facebook promotes hot sauce to me. So they didn't really sell my information, did they, Kurt? But if you dig into the emails that Facebook thought you would never read, you will begin to understand very clearly that they're playing games because they didn't really sell my information. They gave it away to special partners. Those special partners, in turn, funded advertising via the advertising engines of Facebook and Google and these things. And then, well, it created a win-win. My information was taken and used in ways that are manipulative, that garner sales, and so they took my money to fund this whole operation. And then when it gets exposed, I say, wait a minute, you stole my information and sold it to somebody else. And they go, no, we didn't. We gave it away for free. So it's kind of like this, Kurt. Let's think of it this way. I tell you that I'm going to sell you a car. And what I'm really going to do is I'm going to steal the car money from the taxpayer, and I'm going to charge you a penny for your car. So the taxpayer pays me $50,000 for your vehicle, and I charge you a penny. It's $50,000.01. And then I say, I gave you a car for a penny, Kurt. And then they say, well, wait a minute. You got money from the government. I say, no, I didn't. I got money from the taxpayer. You paid for your own car. You know that, Kurt? You paid $50,000 and one penny for your car. And so they didn't sell my information. They just basically used advertising as the vehicle to play the game. And it's called shifted blame. No one's responsible. So the fact that they could see everything I'm doing on my cell phone, the fact that they gave special people or special privilege to certain groups with my information, then you got this weird, strange scenario where, hey, taxpayers paid it. The businesses kind of subsidized it. You got on and gave all your information for free, so you're a willing participant. They're violating the truth in about 66 ways. But they're, quote, factually correct, Kurt, in their violation of truth. Any comments to double down on that?
Well, yeah, you're exactly right once again, Sam. Good point.
Well, let's end on at least a couple of good news pieces. I guess auditors are in the news, Kurt, and these auditors are kind of doubling down. They are not able to tell if $100 million was spent on Utah homeless services on if it made a difference or not. They're just not sure. So let me get this right. Instead of finding out if it'll make a difference before you spend it, and then at the end you go, we're going to determine if it made a difference, and then we're like, oh, we can't tell. I got an idea. What if you don't spend that money in the first place? So, Kurt, we didn't steal your information. We just gave your information to the homeless database, stole money from the government and funded it. And, well, you didn't pay for it, Kurt. The government did.
Wow.
I'm sorry. The government didn't. The homeless shelter did. Mm-hmm. See how we just play games, but it's really all your stolen tax dollars?
Wow.
But what do we do when they can't even tell if $100 million was worth it or valuable? Or what do you want to say? They can't tell if it was... if it even made a difference, Kurt.
Well, the answer here, Sam, is you just need to spend more money. I mean, that's always the answer.
Wait a minute. I thought the answer was that I'd spend less money.
Good point, Sam.
I guess that just shows how stupid I am, huh? If I only understood finance, if I only had a degree in finance, I'd get it.
There, yeah, right? If you'd be a real economist and you really understand
it. All right. Well, there is one good thing. I guess food stamps. Well, people are using less of them under Donald, Kurt.
Yeah, there's like, what, 3.5 million less people on food stamps, something like that. You know, and of course, there's one way to have nobody on food stamps, by the way, but, you know, they don't want to bring that up, Sam. You know, to eliminate all the food stamp fraud as well. But anyway, good news is, say, more people have a job and less people on the government gravy train. So, you know, you got to admit, that's good news, right?
Well, it's a good start.
Yeah.
Right. And again, it's not near what I would like to see, but this is kind of the example where, you know what, the needle is moving in the right direction to some degree on liberty. Now, I know no one tells you about it. I know it's hard to see sometimes. I know it feels like you're bringing a cup of hot water to a firefight. I get it. But I also get that it's a start and it's something. And I also get that, you know what, water is delivered to stop a fire. What, one drop at a time, Kurt? Is that how it works?
Uh-huh.
And guys like you and I can tell the tale of liberty one person at a time. And the power of one becomes the power of two, then becomes the power of the few, and then before you know it, you get real progress. By the way, if you heard Brian and Sam and Kurt talking about on if we went to the moon, whether you believe we did or did not go to the moon is not important. Steph Curry doesn't believe we went. Brian believes we went. Kurt says you can't trust your government. And I think all of them have a grain of the truth.
I said it would be really nice if you could trust them.
That's right.
And, you know, I don't mean that everything that the government says is a lie, but, man, if you think everything they say is truth, you got some troubles with looking at the past record, don't you?
Yes.
You know?
Anyway, all I'm saying to you is this. I don't know if we went to the moon or not, Kurt. I'm not one of those guys that doubles down and said we didn't go. And I'm not one of those guys that said we did go. I'm saying I can't know the truth. But the reason that I bring it up at the end of the program is because there is a movie, or I should say a video, that I think y'all ought to watch. Kurt, go watch this. You'll love it. It's on YouTube. Don't fall asleep during it. Try to stay awake, buddy. Now listen, it's a Better Mankind movie, or Better Mankind video, And it's called NASA Admits We Never Went to the Moon. Watch that. It's riveting. I'm telling you right now, it's worth your time to watch. All right. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully the broadcast was educational and entertaining. Tell all your friends about Liberty Roundtable, would you please? And then donate today. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media. If we provide value to you, please reciprocate. And by the way, on this broadcast, we do say Merry Christmas. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com. God save the Republic of the United States of America.